Today is opening day for college baseball, and I know a lot of you are excited for that. It's a big day. College baseball is here. Auburn softball has their opening game and opening weekend at Jane B. Moore Field. So should be a busy weekend here in Auburn. And then the Auburn basketball team going on the road to Vanderbilt tomorrow. The women's team gets another big win in the SEC last night versus Texas A&M. So just a lot going on right now. You have the NBA All-Star game this weekend, which is probably the best of any of the All-Star weekends. They're not, none of them are great, but that one's normally okay. But yeah, busy time in sports. And here in this first hour, we'll talk about baseball, softball as it gets going today over at Plainsman Park and then J.B. Moore Field for softball. Later on, we'll talk about Auburn basketball going on the road tomorrow to Vanderbilt. I will be there. I'm actually going up there. I'll be driving to Birmingham tonight and then going to Nashville tomorrow with my dad and a group of guys that we take a guys road trip every year for Auburn basketball. So looking forward to going to Vanderbilt for the first time and laying eyes on what is the weirdest gym I think I've seen on television. So excited to see it in person because I've never been there and it looks weird on TV. So yeah. I'm sure it'll look a little different in person too.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how Auburn responds in that game. Well, I guess they are coming off a win, so I guess it's not truly response, but it will be a difficult atmosphere, a difficult environment, a Vanderbilt team that is playing very good ball right now, and maybe a matchup that's not as favorable for Auburn as we've seen in some other setups. So it's going to be a challenge.
It will be
a challenge for Auburn.
It will be. We'll talk about that later on in the show. Also look at some other games going on in college basketball tomorrow as we come down the home stretch of the regular season in college basketball. Hour number two, Jack Hutton will join us. We'll talk some more baseball. We know he's a big Auburn baseball guy. We'll give our picks and thoughts and predictions, if you will, for Auburn basketball versus Vanderbilt and some of those big games in the SEC as well. So phone lines are open all show long today. You know how it is on Fridays. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind in the sports world? Are you going to Plainsman Park this weekend? Are you going to Jane B. Moore Field this weekend? Are you going to Vanderbilt this weekend? We'd love to hear from you and your thoughts on Auburn basketball tomorrow. How do you feel? Do you think Auburn gets it done? Is this another must-win game for Auburn tomorrow in Nashville? How do you feel about baseball's opening weekend? Anything on your mind? If you want to talk golf and Tiger Woods, we'd love to talk about that too. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. And Carter, we got to start with baseball because it's opening day. College baseball is exciting. If you are not into it, I suggest that you get into it because growing up, I wasn't huge into college baseball. I got more into it the older I got, and it is so much fun. And it's underrated. It is extremely underrated, but the people that are involved and the people that love it understand why it's so much fun.
I'm about to have like 35 games up on my computer just cycling through them all. I've already got Samford and Memphis up. I just pulled up Notre Dame, Lipscomb, looking for the Gonzaga game because I know that Gonzaga is upsetting. I think it might be Oklahoma State. No, it's not Oklahoma State. It's somebody big in the Big 12. But I just love everything about watching. This is my favorite time of year because you get baseball and basketball rolling at the same time. You have softball going as well. But yeah, I mean, it's a great time to watch sports, and I love it. I love it so much.
Speaking of Gonzaga, did you see what they did last night in basketball?
Yes, I did. It was crazy.
Which was crazy because they played the team that has beaten them already this year in conference play. It was Loyola Marymount, and they went. Gonzaga lost in the regular season to that team at home at Gonzaga. That team came to them and beat them on their home floor. Gonzaga went to them last night, and they were up by 40-plus at halftime. They put up 60-plus points in the first half against that team.
Yeah.
They let it out on them last night.
I think they scored 100-plus points for the seventh time this season, tying a program record.
It's insane.
I think the 17 or the 18-19 team did that as well, if I saw that correctly on Twitter last night. But yeah, it's a statement right there to avenge that loss. I don't think they've played St. Mary's twice yet.
I don't think they normally play them later in the year. It's like their last big game of conference play for St. Mary's.
They lost the first time around, but that second one, it might be on Saturday. I think it is on Saturday. It's coming up. I know that much, but that's going to be a really fun one. I really do think it is on Saturday, by the way.
It might be. And you were talking Gonzaga baseball. They're up 4-1 on number 24, Texas Tech.
That's it. I knew it was a Big 12 team that was prominent, and I just could not – I can't find the game. I'm trying to find it. But, yeah, it'll be – that'll be a big one to keep an eye on. There will be upsets on this first day of college baseball season. I mean, we know that Auburn takes on Indiana. They're pretty decent favorites in that matchup. I think they're – Minus 220 on the money line is what I saw. Auburn should be the much more talented team, the better team in that matchup, but it'll be a lot of fun. No, okay, it's not. I think it's next Saturday is when we get Gonzaga St. Mary's again. Yep, we get St. Mary's at Gonzaga next Saturday, so not this Saturday.
Okay, well, let's get to some college baseball because, again, it is opening day across the country in college baseball. Auburn opening up with Indiana. If you're going to the game, bundle up. It's going to get chilly tonight. They moved the game up because of colder weather, but it's still going to be chilly. It's been chilly today. When that wind kicks up and gets a little howling, it's chilly out there. I won't lie. The sun is shining now, which helps a little bit, but yeah, about 5:30, 6 o'clock, when that sun goes down, you better be bundled up and ready to go because it's going to be cold.
You get to see in these type of setups, these opening weekend games, you get to see some kind of smaller schools, some more G5 schools, lower major schools, that have a air about them, that have a confidence, and we're not scared of you. Take it to some really big name schools. Like right now, top of the first inning, Jacksonville State at number 10, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Bases loaded right now. Two outs, and they are getting a rally going. I mean, Jacksonville State is, for me, like the epitome of that because it's a bunch of guys that got passed up on by the big in-state schools and Mississippi State and Ole Miss in the state of Alabama, and you get a lot of guys who are really good baseball players. A lot of guys that I played with that ended up at Jacksonville State, and they were – some really good teams.
Yeah, well, Jacksonville State's always got a bunch of talent because, just like you said, they may not have been able to get to the bigger schools, but doesn't mean they're not good. It doesn't mean they're not talented. And when you put a group of guys that are really talented together, they may not be individually as talented as some of these guys at Auburn or Mississippi State or whatever, but when you put all those guys together, you're still going to get a really good squad. So that's why JSU is always really solid, really competitive. But looking at scores for matchups coming up today and this weekend around the SEC, again, Auburn playing Indiana. I'm excited to see that. I won't be in town, so I won't actually get to go and watch Auburn play this weekend against Indiana. But excited to see how Auburn opens up. I think there's a lot of hype around Auburn baseball this year. I think there are some expectations again this year, as it should. Same way with basketball, with what Bruce Pearl did, building up a program and making it successful and getting to the highest level year in, year out. Baseball is right there with that. Butch Thompson has done the exact same thing, if not better, with Auburn baseball than what we've seen with Auburn basketball. And the fact that Auburn is coming off of a World Series appearance, coming off of multiple ones under Butch Thompson, that is really an expectation for Auburn fans at this point for baseball year in, year out. Is that difficult to do? Yeah, absolutely. But
I mean, I think expectation of College World Series is a little much, but I do think, like,
well, I say expectations,
deep run into the tournament, kind of being in a regional final is basically your baseline kind of moving forward when you elevate a program like this.
Right.
Getting to super regionals. Anything can happen in a three-game series.
Right.
Happens all the time.
Right. I said expectations. I think Auburn fans...
The goal.
Yes, and Auburn fans believe that Auburn baseball can get to a World Series. And, maybe that's a better way to put it.
Let's also talk about the fact that when you... There are so many disadvantages in this conference, in the SEC, for Auburn and Alabama. being in the state that they are, you have less financial help to build a roster. Like your 11.7 scholarships, that's what you have. I guess you get some help from NIL now, but everybody else has a little bit extra around you. Vanderbilt has 35, 36 full scholarship guys based on the way that they're able to build it out. So you're at a disadvantage. So the fact that Butch Thompson has taken this team to the College World Series, what, twice in 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
That is so unbelievably impressive. So unbelievably impressive. Like, that doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen. No, it doesn't. And that's why I say Butch Thompson may very well be the best coach on campus at Auburn. He very well might be, and I think what he has done with Auburn baseball, we've talked about it before, and everybody talks about it because what he is doing at Auburn is truly unbelievably special. If you put Butch Thompson as the head coach at somewhere like Vanderbilt, God forbid he leave Auburn for Vanderbilt, but if he did, if you put a coach like him at Vanderbilt where he built out the staff like he's done at Auburn, dude, Vanderbilt would be they'd be unstoppable because of how good of a coach Butch Thompson is, how good of a roster management coach Butch Thompson is, and how good he is at just winning baseball games and winning in the postseason and doing what it takes to be successful, making the right moves and adjusting the right things to make Auburn baseball what it has become. And so I said that Auburn fans expected College World Series, and that may be a little high because of how good it is.
I think that's a goal.
Yeah. And Auburn fans believe this team can get there. And I think that's what's important because there are teams around the country that, no, there's not a belief that they can legitimately make it to a College World Series. But this Auburn team can, and this Auburn program can, and that's what's exciting as you get started here on opening day, Auburn taking on Indiana. What are you looking for in this opening weekend, Carter, from Auburn? It's game one tonight, right? I think that's important. Game one tonight, opening weekend. What are some things that you're kind of looking for from Auburn as they open the season?
Well, I want to see a fast start. I want to see you win a series. I think you can make a real statement if you sweep an Indiana team out of the Big Ten. And an Indiana team that may not be great, but has had some spikes as a program. I remember Kyle Schwarber took an Indiana team to the College World Series.
Yeah.
About probably 9 years ago? I mean, I would love to see Auburn really, really, really make a statement and sweep this team. You're more talented than this team. I mean, we know how baseball goes. It's easy to drop a game any series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is. You can hit a ball on the screws and then go right at somebody, and the entire lineup can do that for nine innings, and it can be unlucky, and they can have three or four bloop hits in a row and scrape across a few runs and beat you. I mean, that's the way that this game works. That's the way that this game has always been played, but it would be impressive to me if Auburn can sweep opening weekend. Chase Ossip getting the start in on opening day. They bumped Joseph Gonzalez back to Saturday. I think, if you're going to ask me, I think Joseph Gonzalez maybe hasn't thrown as much this spring leading up to the season. And with the cold weather, that may be precautionary to make sure you protect his arm. Because the last thing you need, we've seen it happen before. We saw Davis Daniel a few years back in his first start blow out his arm, done for the year. And he was supposed to be one of your top two guys with Tanner Burns that year. So I think they're just being cautious with Joseph Gonzalez. But this Auburn team, if you can get good starting pitching, I think you've got some young bats, some talented bats that will get rolling, and you will score some runs. The bullpen, back into the bullpen, might be interesting to figure out who all steps up in those roles.
Yeah, which is where Auburn saw some struggles late last season, right? You had some quality starts, and then the bullpen came in, and down the stretch wasn't as strong as you would want it to be. So Auburn opens up with Indiana this weekend. Opening day is today. Some really interesting games and series going on this weekend. Missouri on the road at number 9 Oklahoma State in the College Baseball Showdown in Arlington. That's a really interesting matchup.
They already dropped that game. That game already played earlier today. They lost that one 5-3. You saw Oklahoma State jump on Missouri And then you saw Missouri try to come back. Mm-hmm. I think in the second inning, Oklahoma State had all five of their runs.
Yeah, and exactly.
Missouri tried to scrap back into it. That was a game that I kind of had my eye on because that would have been a real statement for the SEC if Missouri had been able to win that game, because Missouri is a bottom 2-3 program in the SEC, and Oklahoma State's a top 4 program in the Big 12.
And they're a top 10 team in the country. They're that good.
It would have been a really, really, really impressive statement if Missouri had been able to come back and win that game.
You spoke of JSU and Georgia. You have number 10 Vanderbilt, number 15 TCU. That will be extremely fun as well. Richmond in Alabama. You have Delaware, number 4 Ole Miss. We spoke of Auburn, Indiana already. You have number 2 Tennessee taking on Arizona. Texas and number 8 Arkansas. I mean, some big time matchups around the
Texas
SEC.
Tech has, by the way, has come back and tied up that matchup with Gonzaga. But when you look at these first couple weekends are fun because kind of like you see in basketball where you get those early season tournaments, we started to see those pop up a little bit in baseball. I know that there's 2 or 3 this weekend where you're going to see some fun matchups from some big name teams. As I just, you know how when you're on the ESPN site, they mm-hmm. have whatever they're pushing on the live stream. Rory just hit a really long putt and just looked like absolutely exasperated that he hit it to like he wasn't expecting it and he just needed something to fall.
Yeah, felt that.
But next week you're going to get a couple of these tournaments too. Auburn's played in a couple of them the last 2 years. I know the Round Rock Classic, and they've played I think they've played Minute Maid as well. If they haven't, I know a lot of SEC teams have as well.
And so opening weekend of college baseball, it is here, opening day, and some big-time matchups. Auburn, Indiana this weekend at Plainsman Park. Auburn softball has a lot of games going on this weekend as well in the Tiger Invitational. That's over at Jane B. Moore Field. We have gone really long in this opening segment. We got to get to our first break in hour number one. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Question of the day, talking about college basketball this weekend when we come back.
On the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Question of the day here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins and Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. Looking around the country in college basketball this weekend, some big games tomorrow. Obviously, Auburn on the road at Vanderbilt. You look at all the games around the country as we get down the home stretch here as we transition into late February. We inch closer and closer to March and Selection Sunday. The question of the day: what is the biggest game that has the biggest impact on the tournament coming up tomorrow? 334-321-1390. There's a couple of them I think you could go with. Some big matchups you can do in the SEC, outside of the SEC. I'm going to go first. Okay. And this is an answer based off of a team's ranking, a team's position in the tournament, and the other team's possibility of not making the tournament.
I know exactly where you're going.
It's got to be Tennessee on the road at Kentucky. Yes. It has to be. It has to be Tennessee, number 10 in the country, on the road at Rupp Arena tomorrow, 12 o'clock CBS. This is a big game for March Madness, and here's why. Tennessee right now is backing, they're sort of bouncing around between a 2 and a 3 seed, depending on where you look in different bracketologies. ESPN, I believe, updated their bracketology today, so we'll take a look at that coming up in just a little bit. But you look at Tennessee, and it's a team that Auburn plays in the final game of the season, right? It's a game where Auburn, a lot of fans feel if they play well, they can win that game at the end and really bolster themselves into tournament conversation. But Tennessee bouncing around between a 2 and a 3 seed. Kentucky continues to bounce around between in the tournament and out of the tournament. And I think that's why this game tomorrow is absolutely huge, because it's in Rupp Arena. We've seen Kentucky not play great there. They lost to the second worst team in the conference in South Carolina, right? We saw Kentucky lose that game in Rupp Arena, but we also saw Kentucky in the midweek go on the road and take down Mississippi State at the hump. Tennessee, Kentucky, it's always a big one. Two great coaches, Rick Barnes and John Calipari. Two great programs in Tennessee and Kentucky. This is a huge game tomorrow with tons of tournament implications. That is the biggest game in college basketball tomorrow, Carter.
Yeah, I think that that's a great choice. I really do. For me, I've got my eye on a different one. I've got my eye on one out of the Big 12, that College Game Day matchup of number 9 Baylor at number 5 Kansas. This is a game that if Baylor wins, we're potentially talking about Baylor as a 1 seed. If Kansas wins, here's a question for you. Can Kansas leapfrog with the losses ahead of them to number 2 in the country and the second seed behind Houston?
Possibly.
Because Alabama dropped one this week. Purdue's dropped 3 out of 4. And we could be talking about the potential of Kansas climbing in there for potentially that number 1 overall seed.
Very well could. And think about what this Kansas team has done in the last couple of weeks. Remember what happened to them when they went and lost 3 straight games to Kansas State, TCU, and Baylor, and going into that game against Kentucky, everybody was down on the Jayhawks, and they said, oh, this team can't play. This team is not any good. They've lost 3 straight games. Wrong. They lost 3 straight games in the Big 12. We've talked about how good that conference is. They then went on the road to Rupp Arena in the SEC Big 12 Challenge and took care of business. They take down Kentucky by 9. What they've done since is won 4 of their last 5. Their only loss was on the road at Iowa State. So this is a good Kansas team with the rest of their schedule. Baylor, TCU, West Virginia, Texas Tech, and Texas. If they continue to win, they'll probably drop 1 in there because that's a tough schedule. But I think they could jump and take over that number 2 overall seed behind Houston in bracketology. I definitely think they could if they handle business down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's gonna be a lot of storylines that pop up here. Despite what you, my good buddy, said yesterday, 1 seeds are not locked up at all because we've had Purdue and Alabama drop some games here in the past 48 hours. I think that there's so much room for movement just because you've got some teams that are playing games that I think are they're losable. And we've got these different states of like momentum for these teams where Alabama was cruising. Alabama loses a game. Okay. Purdue is running through the Big Ten. Now they've lost 3 out of 4. Tennessee was dead in the water. They get a huge win against Alabama. Kentucky lost 3 in a row. And then they bounced back like that after their win against Kentucky. And they're now climbing back into 1 seed contention. It's happening all over the country.
It's all about how you're playing on the way to March. We'll talk Auburn and Vanderbilt tomorrow in Nashville coming up.
Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number 1 here on the Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. Well, Auburn taking a trip up north to Nashville tomorrow as they take on Vanderbilt on the road in SEC play. Auburn basketball coming off probably their best performance of the year against Missouri in the midweek on Tuesday night. And now they have a date with Vanderbilt, who, as we've mentioned, Carter, playing pretty well down the stretch for a Vanderbilt team that most people overlook in basketball. Most people don't worry about Vanderbilt. This is a trip that could be a trap game on Auburn's schedule if they're not careful.
Yeah, I think it's a game that on paper you are not worried about on paper, but it's a game you should be. Because this Vanderbilt team has won, I believe, 4 in a row, including a game against Tennessee and a road game at a full-strength Florida team that is before Colin Castleton's injury. Their other wins have been against Ole Miss at home and on the road at South Carolina, which I get it. Everybody has those wins. But since they got Liam Robbins back, they have been really, really good. And that is the matchup that I have my eye on. That is what I'm worried about. I think this you have a guy that may not be a great matchup for Auburn's big men, and a guy who could put 25, 30 points and 12, 15 rebounds on Auburn, and he also blocks a lot of shots. So I want to see how Auburn's big men respond on the road in a weird environment against a matchup that may not be favorable to them. How do they respond in that moment? And it's going to be fascinating.
We'd love to hear from you, our listeners, 334-321-1390. Give us a call. How do you feel about Auburn going on the road to Vanderbilt tomorrow? I pose the question, is this another must-win game for Auburn? We said it was on Tuesday. They showed up and responded. I know they were all listening to our show when we said it was a must-win, so they took that into the locker room and motivation, right? And that's what Bruce Pearl said in his pregame speech. But is this a must-win game for Auburn tomorrow against Vanderbilt? We'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. Carter, I'll pose the question to you. Is tomorrow a must-win?
I guess in theory, it technically may not be. I think in actuality, it is. Because you need to hold serve in a game like this, a game that you're supposed to win. You need to hold serve in this game and Ole Miss to lock up your tournament berth. But you could lose this game as long as you take one or two of those final three against Kentucky, Alabama, and Tennessee.
My answer has changed a little bit from about less than a week ago, since Monday and even Tuesday on the show, because I'm pretty sure I said on Tuesday, because I believed it, going into the Missouri game, I said that the next three were must wins, and then Auburn had to pick up an extra one. I said Auburn had to beat Missouri, beat Vanderbilt, beat Ole Miss, and then steal one against Kentucky, Alabama, and Tennessee. And yes, I say playing on the road at Kentucky is a steal because of how Auburn has played there in the last 50 years. But with the way that Auburn performed on Tuesday against Missouri, I feel a little bit better about this team's resume. Right, I feel a little bit better about this team going into this game tomorrow. Is the game against Vanderbilt tomorrow an absolute must-win to make the tournament? No, it's not. It is not a must-win to make the tournament, but it is a must-win for Auburn mentally in a game for Auburn that they have to win if you want to be any sort of threat in the NCAA tournament. And if you do that, if you go on the road in a weird environment, it's not going to be extremely hostile, but it is weird. It's a weird gym. It's a weird location. If you're able to go in and beat a team that is getting hot down the stretch and you get that win, two impressive wins in a row, I think that is really, really big for this Auburn team.
Update. Number 10, Georgia, just gave up their second two-run home run to Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State's up 4-0, and it was a nuke.
Good.
I am loving this right now. This is why I love this sport, because you get a team that just has an edge to it like JSU, and they'll go beat somebody's butt in the opening game. They got to hang on. They may not win the series, but they are a scrappy bunch.
Opening day, man. Opening day of college baseball. You never know what's going to happen. Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. Happy Friday, man.
Happy Friday, guys. How's it going?
Doing well, Terry. What you got?
Fantastic. Jacob, I disagree with you a little bit. I do think it's a must-win.
Okay.
I think every game is a must-win at this point, and you're not going to beat, and you're not going to win at Coleman, and you play terrible at Rupp. So let's be honest. So
right.
I feel like Auburn can beat Tennessee at Neville Arena. I really do.
I think they can if they play like they have been playing. And Terry, if Auburn would have beaten Missouri on Tuesday by 5 or 6 and it would have been a 40-minute game, I would say that tomorrow would be a must-win, have-to-win for your tournament hopes. But with the way that Vanderbilt is playing and the way that Auburn has started to play a little bit, if tomorrow is a competitive game and Vanderbilt just wins it right there at the end, but Auburn picks up one in these last three outside of Ole Miss, then I think they're okay to get to the tournament. But in regards of the team itself, tomorrow is a must-win, if that makes any sense with what I'm saying.
So, yeah, I remember the day when it was a 20 wins to get in. Now I think it's plus 20 wins. So I think that gets them to 21 if they could pull it off. The Missouri beat Missouri, then you know, Vanderbilt tomorrow, and then Ole Miss, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're at 18 right now. So if they win the next two, that puts them at 20. Yeah,
yeah, that gets them to 20. And according to KenPom right now, they got a 47% chance to win at Kentucky, and a 44% chance to beat Tennessee at home. The final projection for KenPom is Auburn at 21-10 and 11-7 in conference play.
So wait, Carter, they got a better chance of beating Tennessee at home than Kentucky on the road than Tennessee at home?
Well, yeah, because KenPom, according to their metrics, Tennessee is still the fourth best team in KenPom, and Kentucky is 40th and has been shorthanded here for the last little bit.
Well, I think if they lose to Kentucky, which I expect to do at Rupp, and they can beat Tennessee, that looks even that much more impressive if Tennessee beats Kentucky.
Yeah,
possibly. I think Auburn, if Auburn plays well, Terry, Auburn has a chance to beat Kentucky and Rupp, because this is not a good Kentucky team. And like Carter mentioned, they're shorthanded, and I don't know what their status is going to be when Auburn goes there. So I think those are two winnable games if Auburn plays well. And that's the biggest thing that we haven't gotten into today, but we've talked about just about every game the last month, Terry, is this is all based on how Auburn plays. Tomorrow is the exact same way. It doesn't matter what Vanderbilt does. Outside of their big guy that's going to give Auburn troubles, Auburn just has to go and play well. If they go and play well and do what they're supposed to do, hit some shots, run some offense, don't turn the ball over, they're going to be just fine, and they're going to win by double digits tomorrow if they do that, because Vanderbilt is not better than Auburn. They're not. They don't have the coach. They don't have the talent. Auburn is better. They just have to play like it.
Right, it's just that they're a sneaky good team, as you stated before, Jacob. It's an odd arena, it's an odd place. It just lines up for a lot of odd things to happen, quite honestly.
Very, very true. And Auburn has to find a way to overcome those things if you want to, A, be a tournament team, and B, make some noise in the tournament as well.
Right. And it's all about who's hot when it comes to the tournament. That's why I told you yesterday, Carter, I think Northwestern is peaking at the right time.
I agree, but I don't think they're going to win out or anything. I mean, if they win out, we're talking about a Northwestern team that legitimately could win the Big Ten, because they are just one game in the loss column behind Purdue. If you go look at the Big Ten standings, it's an absolute mess for a variety of reasons. You've got some teams that have played 13 games. You've got some teams that have played 16 games in conference play. It's going to take a little bit for everybody to close up in terms of the amount of games played. But Northwestern, I would just keep an eye on it if you're an Auburn fan, because it helps your resume.
Right.
It's not. They have the tiebreaker against Purdue. They could be the one seed in the Big Ten tournament if Purdue drops one more and Northwestern keeps winning.
Well, I'll tell you what else could up their resume. If Texas A&M can beat Alabama the last game of the year.
Yeah, that, which is if A&M continues to play like they are, and they just and it's not about Texas A&M being a great team, because they're not. They're good. Don't get me wrong. They're good.
Very athletic.
Very athletic and very confident, Terry. They are a very confident bunch, and Buzz Williams does that to them. They're 11-2 in conference play. You can't take that away from them, and they truly believe they're one of, if not the best team in the SEC right now.
And do you guys remember the rant that Buzz Williams went on last year when they didn't make the tournament?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
See, that people keep that in mind, because even if they don't beat Alabama, he's going to go into the round. They should get in, quite honestly.
Oh, they'll be in.
If they beat Alabama, they're a lock.
Yeah, oh, no doubt about it. No doubt.
Now, what you said a while ago about this game this week in Baylor and Kansas, I think if Kansas wins, they're easily number one, because they have a much richer history than Alabama ever had, and they just won it last year.
Oh, you think they'll be the number one overall?
Overall seed.
Interesting. Well, right now they've got it as it bounces around because of teams like Purdue that keep losing really throw a wrench in all of this. If Kansas wins against Baylor tomorrow, see, Terry, I still think they have work to do because of the conference that they play in. There's a chance they lose one or two games down the stretch.
You know what Purdue losing all these games in a row does to me? Makes me think they're just that much more dangerous in the tournament.
Yeah.
They're going to get out of their system and they start hitting the peak at the right time.
Somebody underestimated them, because, Terry, as of right now, in the newest bracketology from Lenardi, guess where Auburn is? They have Baylor, or they have Purdue in round two if they take down Pitt in round one.
Yikes.
Yep.
That's a horrific matchup for Auburn.
Okay, did you guys say the same thing when you saw their run to the Final Four a couple of years ago? Because I know when I looked at it, I said, there's no way they're getting past that bracket.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you, Terry. In that one, I think Auburn had the three-point shooting and the guard play.
I agree.
That you thought you always felt like Auburn had a chance, but we're talking about a 7'4", 295-pound center who is the best player in college basketball at Purdue.
That will have a field day against
Jahni
Broome.
And we've already seen what big physical big men have done to Auburn. I'd be very worried about that matchup if that happened.
And Wendell Green's still on the team at Auburn, right? So that's usually Purdue. And take care, guys.
See you, Terry. Appreciate the call. That is Terry joining us on the Friday edition of On the Line. What's up?
I can't wait to hear who is Terry's Wendell Green of Auburn baseball. Just because, like, we always find one, but it'll be fascinating to
we start taking bets on it if you want.
I think it's a little early for that. I think we need to watch the first weekend at least.
Yeah, we'll at least give him the first weekend. But Terry, we appreciate the call, man. It's always good to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you as well. 334-321-1390. Talking Auburn's trip to Nashville, taking on Vanderbilt tomorrow. And again, I stand by my point, and I hope it makes sense with what I'm saying. Is tomorrow is not a must win for Auburn to make the tournament, but for Auburn to be a competitive team in the tournament, tomorrow's a must win. Like, you have to win this game for you to feel like you're actually good enough to play in the tournament and get a win or two in the NCAA tournament. So sure, you can label tomorrow as a must win for Auburn's mentality state, confidence state, all of those things. But if Auburn goes and loses a tough game tomorrow against Vanderbilt on the road, I don't think that's going to drop them out of the tournament. But then you put on a must win on one of those last three. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt.
You can't go 0-3 in your final three if that happens.
Correct. So tomorrow's a big one. And I think you may as well. Auburn should go into it tomorrow thinking it's a must win. You should. You should go into this, like Terry said, every game you should go into it as a must win from here on out. But tomorrow is a must win. Then you got to pick up the midweek game against Ole Miss. You should and you need to. Then you've got three games, and you got to pick up one to feel good about yourself making the tournament and have any sort of confidence in the tournament to make some noise. And as of right now, we mentioned it on the phone with Terry, looking at bracketology, same thing as CBS had all week. Auburn as an 8 seed, matched up with Pitt as a 9 seed. If they get past the first round, they'd play number one Purdue, barring a crazy upset for only the second time in tournament history. So Purdue's not a good matchup, man. Purdue is not a good matchup. If you're Auburn, Purdue is more than likely not going to bump off that one line. I don't see them losing again unless they just continue to reel and go towards the earth. If you're Auburn, you're looking to move. You're looking to move up one spot, I think.
How big, as I look at this bracketology and everything, how big is that missed opportunity for Mississippi State against Kentucky?
Yep.
Because it vaults Kentucky into the tournament, and Mississippi State right now, according to Lenardi, is the first team out. Do you see who one of the first four matchups is? Kentucky versus UNC.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? That would be a legendary first four game in Dayton.
Wow.
Holy smokes, that would be awesome.
That would be the most watched first four game ever.
I'm driving home and watching that game live if that happens. I'm driving home to Dayton, Ohio and going to that game.
He has Wisconsin in. Somebody explain it to me. Somebody tell me why. A Wisconsin team with a losing record in the Big Ten that is 15-10 overall, that is 77th in the net rankings. Tell me why we're putting that team into the tournament.
Brand? I don't know. I really don't. How about Clemson being one of the last four in? This was a team that was the top team in the ACC.
They've fallen off a little bit. They're sitting around fourth in the ACC. They are fighting for their tournament.
Which shows right how now. Weak that conference is if you're fourth in there and you're the last team in. Yeah. You are the last team in the tournament right now if you're Clemson.
A couple teams Auburn's played besides, at the end of the year they will have played Kentucky. State's first four out. But West Virginia and Memphis are in the last four byes right now. Just some more tournament teams that Auburn has played, cracking that field of 68 for Joe Lenardi right now.
Mm-hmm. And Terry brought up Texas A&M. They're playing really well. If they continue to do what they're doing, they're a 9 seed against a very talented Rutgers team out of the Big Ten. If they were to get through that, they'd have Houston, which I think Houston's a beatable team. I really do. I think Houston is a beatable team. A&M could have a shot at a Sweet 16 berth and play Xavier or Kansas State. That'd be really interesting. I think Texas A&M, again, I don't think they're all that great. They're good, but they're very confident, and that is very important going into the month of March. But Auburn, an 8 seed right now in bracketology. They go on the road to Vanderbilt tomorrow to take on the Commodores in the weird gymnasium, if you will, there in Nashville. Mm-hmm.
Just another fun one to look at. Second round potential matchup of Memphis and Tennessee.
Interesting. That'd be a fun one. That would be fun. That would be interesting. So
I like the way that where he's got everybody matched up. I think it's really, really fun. It could create some very interesting matchups.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. We'll talk more about it coming up in hour number two, but we got to get to our final break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one. Again, we'd love to hear from you. Phone lines are open all show long. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line, we have confirmation that Jack Cutton is on the way, so he will join us in hour number two. We'll talk Auburn baseball opening day as they get going against Indiana. We'll talk Auburn basketball, look around college basketball as well. Should be a fun Friday afternoon in hour number two. But as we wrap up this first hour, just looking at some of the scores in college baseball as it is opening day. You have Jacksonville State, as we've mentioned, up 4-0 on Georgia over in Athens, so that's exciting.
Yes, and the way that they've done it, it hasn't been small ball. It's been two absolute nuke home runs.
Mm-hmm. So exciting there. Jacksonville State, again, up 4-0 on Georgia. Richmond and Alabama just started. Number 10, Vanderbilt. And number 15, TCU, just got underway. Auburn playing this afternoon. They'll get going over at Plainsman Park. And I think some of the interesting ones, again, number 2, Tennessee on the road at Arizona in a MLB Desert Invitational in Arizona. So interesting there. Again, Texas, Arkansas, I think is really phenomenal.
Sanford's up 2-1 on Memphis on the road. Did you already mention that Gonzaga, Texas Tech?
No, I didn't. Texas, I was just sticking SEC for now. Yeah.
Texas Tech's got a 6-4 lead on Gonzaga and what's been a fun game there. And a future Auburn opponent, Lipscomb, in a few weeks. They're up 1-0 in the bottom of the third. They've got some runners on, and they may have just hit a two-run home run, as I said this, because this kid is home run trotting. Yep, that is a two-run bomb, and Lipscomb's up 3-0 on Notre Dame.
Wow.
Just an absolute nuke. He hit it, and little bat flip, and like basically walked halfway up the first baseline.
Man, that's crazy. That is absolutely crazy.
So we've got some smaller schools jumping on some bigger schools right now, and at least making these games interesting, if nothing else.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, college baseball, man, I mean, it's anybody. Baseball in general is anybody's game, anybody's day, right? But college baseball is just that much fun, and it's a blast, man. I'm excited for it to be started. We'll talk about it with Jack Cutton coming up in hour number two. He should be pulling in just any minute now, but we got to get to our top of the hour break. And again, hour number two, college baseball talk. We'll dip into softball a little bit. We'll talk college basketball with Auburn on the road at Vanderbilt. Look around the SEC. Look at bracketology. We'll get you ready for a big weekend of sports coming up here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Phone lines are still open. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Stay tuned. Hour number two coming up.
On the Line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're all doing well on this Friday, February 17th, 2023. Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you here in the ESPN 106.7 studios, talking all things college basketball, baseball, softball, golf, whatever it is, you name it, we're talking about it here on this Friday edition of On the Line. If you missed any of our number one, we talked opening day for Auburn baseball a little bit. We will get to that some more here in hour number two. Also talked about Auburn basketball's trip to Vanderbilt. We'll get to some of that again here in the second hour as well. So if you missed any of hour number one, be sure to go and catch up with the podcast. You can find it at ESPNAU.com. Click on the podcast center and it'll be commercial free right there right after the show. And again, coming up here in hour number two, as baseball gets underway for Auburn, softball gets underway for Auburn as well. We'll talk all of that as we'll get Jack Cutton here in the studio in just a few minutes to talk baseball, softball with him. And then we'll talk Auburn-Vanderbilt basketball tomorrow, talk about why Auburn needs a win in Nashville to give themselves some more confidence on the way to the NCAA tournament. We'll break it down, talk about some of the big games around college basketball as well, and make some picks down the stretch here on the show. But phone lines are open again here in all of hour number two. We'd love to hear from you. Comments, questions, concerns, anything you want to talk about, jump on, be a part of the show, be on the line. 334-321-1390. And Carter, it is opening day for college baseball. Auburn getting underway in just a little bit here. And what an exciting time for Auburn, right? It's a big weekend to start out against Indiana at Plainsman Park. You have a chance to get some early season wins, some returning names on this team, but some new names as well. This is an exciting squad that I think we're going to get to watch all spring and into the summer long for Auburn baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a very exciting team. It'll be a team that it may take some time for them to kind of feel out the process of who plays what role, how it all works for them. But, you know, it's a team that I expect to be pretty good this year. And when you look around this first weekend, you better show up focused and you better show up ready to play, because you're seeing it all over the country where some small schools are jumping on some big schools. And this Auburn team has a lot of question marks. You lose, what, five pitchers off last year's team in the first 12 rounds of the draft. You lose three of your four infielders, and it's a lot that has to get figured out.
Yeah, well, Auburn baseball again, opening day here for college baseball. You see Jacksonville State already up 4-0 or 5-0 now on Georgia.
Well, as you say that, Georgia hit a 2-run home run.
Well, just kidding, I lied. Well, they're still ahead, though, but they jumped out 5-0 before they gave up two. So exciting to see that. Is it's just, that's what college baseball is about right there, is just those little, you know, the smaller schools jumping on bigger schools. It can happen any day, any time in college baseball as it is opening day. You have Auburn softball, who opens up their home series and home games, I should say, with the Tiger Invitational. They just got underway against Austin Peay, so that's exciting as well. But as I sit here, we welcome in Jack Hutton, our good friend, who is a baseball connoisseur. Hello,
hi,
Jack.
Dallas. How y'all doing?
We're doing just fine. As you, hey, you're fashionably late. Nothing wrong with that.
Hey, that's buddy. Right, man. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Well, take a deep breath over there for a second.
Yeah, not for real. I had a couple things going on at the office, so. A little bit late rolling in on two wheels, yeah. But ready to go.
Well, happy opening day, Jack.
Man, I'm so excited. I felt like getting up this morning. You know that song, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, that you sing at Christmas?
Yeah.
I had that playing in my head today, because baseball season, man, it's different for me. I love baseball season, love getting out to Plainsman Park and watching the team. I love, you know, my kind of passion is baseball analytics, and so I dig into numbers and everything like that in my free time, and just love, you know, kind of covering this team and following them throughout the year. So this is the time that I look forward to the most during the year, and I'm ready to go.
Well, Well, as Auburn opens up against Indiana this weekend, Jack, just your feelings, your thoughts about this Auburn team, this matchup with Indiana here at opening weekend. What I'm sure you're going to make it over there a couple of times for Auburn baseball this weekend. What are you looking for?
Yeah, I'll be headed over there tonight, and then going to try to get over there maybe Sunday. But yeah, so looking at this Auburn program, really from a 1,000-foot view, if you want to say. Butch Thompson and his staff have done a tremendous job really the past about 5 years or so in growing this program. And really since he's been here, they've done a great job with it. But, I mean, you've looked at the track that they've followed, and every single year it seems like they're checking off another milestone. So you go back to the 2017 season when Casey Mize, Keegan Thompson, those guys, they almost get you to a first super regional in program history. Well, then the next year you do get to that super regional by winning a regional. And then the next year you actually win the super regional and you get to Omaha for the first time since, I think, 97 was it at that time. And then finally, you know, last year you host a regional and you win a game in Omaha. So they've been slowly creeping up this ladder. And I think what you're about to see over the next few years is it's going to be kind of important for what Auburn is going to be really after Butch Thompson's tenure is over, I think. Because this is going to grow Auburn to be one of the more dynamite programs that's on the rise in the country. And I think that you're starting to see some of this, you know, you're starting to see funding coming in. You're seeing new facilities. You're seeing these things come up like they're putting stands in right field, on the Green Monster, which, man, I talked to you about that like a year ago.
Yeah, we talked about that this time last year.
Oh, I'm so excited to see that happen.
If baseball ever became a fully scholarship-funded sport, we're talking about Butch Thompson could win, I think, multiple national championships at Auburn.
I agree.
He might be able to do it right now, which is insane.
He's got the squad, too, this year. So you're going to have, of course, Joseph Gonzalez is going to be a top 100 pick in the MLB draft, I think. Your starters, I think, are actually going to be pretty good. You don't have Trace Bright and Mason Barnett like you did last season, but you're going to bring up Chase Alsup, who gets to start tonight in a setup role. A lot of people thought he was a top 100 draft guy out of high school, chose to come to Auburn. If he can put it together this year, that's two big-time starters. And then that third one's kind of up for grabs, but this weekend they're going with the freshman Drew Nelson, who's the Alabama Gatorade Player of the Year in high school last season. He's come on really impressed so far in fall and spring ball. And so I think they're going to go with those three. And I wouldn't be surprised to see those three stick for the majority of the year if they can get right. Like years past, I think the issue with the – or I guess the not the issue, but more of the what's going to be important about getting involved with this team is the relief squad. So how does Auburn – in games on the back end, who fits into that closer role, who fits into the long relief? You know, can they find those guys like you saw last year? You saw Blake Burkhalter take that over. You saw Carson Skipper kind of take on that late long relief role almost. So can Auburn find that in some of these new guys? Because I think they're going to have some firepower at the plate this year. They're bringing in some transfers, bringing in some new guys. It's going to be interesting to see just how many home runs this team's hit, really.
The starting lineup just dropped. So it's Bobby Pierce leading off in the one hole. Foster, Ike Irish, Justin Kirby, Nate LaRue, Cooper McMurray, Kaysen Howell, Bryson Ware, Caden Green.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that's about what I was thinking. I was actually thinking that because they've tried to put Ike Irish up at the top spot because of there's the adage that's going on right now in the MLB put your best hitter at that one spot and let him get at bats over the course of the season, and with more at bats comes more runs. So essentially, that's kind of the analytics part of that.
Well, you also
put your best player at the top.
You've also seen some MLB teams.
Yeah,
try
Anthony
to put,
Rizzo for the Cubs.
Well, I was going to say put your best hitter in that two spot, hoping that you can get your leadoff guy on, and then I guess have him
generate runs from there. Yeah,
well, and I think the mindset on that is okay. You get a leadoff guy on in the first inning, but then what happens the rest of the game? So you're only guaranteeing that guy's leading off an inning only one time a game. And so what happens the rest of the season when you're leading off these innings? Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. It's an interesting point to point out, but I really hope and I would love to see Ike Irish come up to that two spot, assuming he is what we think he is, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't seen this team play one game against another competition.
Right.
We have, but it's been, you know, in the fall.
Besides playing each other, yeah.
Right, yeah. So I would love to see, you know, if we think Ike is going to be what he is, him to kind of move up into that two spot, because I think Bobby Pierce and Ike Iris with some pop at the front of that lineup, boy, that's dangerous.
Have you kept up with one of Auburn's weekend opponents here in a few weeks, Lipscomb? You seen what they're doing?
I've seen, yes. I was
up 3-0 on Notre Dame.
The score, that's right, yeah. Hit a home run just a minute ago, I believe, and I think
yes.
You were calling that.
They were in a jam a second ago. They had runners on the corners, I think one out, and figured out a way to get out of that one. So they're hanging in there with a 3-run lead over a good Notre Dame team. I am curious about Notre Dame because they've been so good the last couple years.
Yeah.
But their coach is now at FSU. Link Jarrett, the former Auburn hitting coach, who built Notre Dame into a really good team in ACC, and he takes over for the Mike Martin era at FSU and everything that went on down there.
Notre Dame knocked off Tennessee last year in the Super Regional, and that's something a lot of people don't remember, is this Tennessee team, as good as they were last year, they get the number one, almost go undefeated in the SEC, which is just insane. They dropped the Super Regional at their own house. They don't get to Omaha last year. So what do they look like this year? I think I texted you on the way in. I have got one of my who cares picks for the weekend.
Oh, gosh.
And I have
worried about this.
I've got College of Charleston taking down Virginia Tech 2-1.
Interesting. Why?
College of Charleston has a catcher named JT Marr, who was a 2022 Buster Posey Award finalist, one of the best hitters in the country last season. Virginia Tech has lost some guys at the plate. Virginia Tech also going on the road to College of Charleston.
I was about to say, isn't that in Charleston this weekend?
Notre Dame's at Lipscomb right now.
Yeah.
I find that one interesting.
So there you go. So you're getting some of these bigger teams going on the road to smaller colleges and playing them for opening weekends. And just something feels a little weird about this one to me. So I'm going to take College of Charleston over the regional host Virginia Tech Hokies last season.
Interesting.
In an upset on the weekend. That's my big upset pick.
Well, see, when you said a who cares pick of the weekend, we thought it was going to be, you know, Presbyterian taking on Georgetown where nobody cared.
On After the Game, when he brings up his Who Cares basketball games each week, they are the two most obscure schools you can think of.
But at least you picked a ranked team.
Well, and it's usually like, it'll usually be so maybe like one of them has 2 wins on the year and the other has like 15. And like this 2-win squad's going to get their 3rd win over like the first place team in that conference. And it's a conference nobody cares about. It's Mississippi Delta State
versus, dang right.
You know, whoever the heck it is.
Love
but
it.
Just,
well,
yeah.
at least you picked a ranked team this time. So we'll hold you to it. College of Charleston to take down Virginia Tech in college baseball. Auburn gets underway against Indiana. Auburn softball obviously has their, opening, their home opener today. They're playing Austin Peay right now in the Tiger Invitational. They'll get some good games in this weekend, multiple games. Our buddy Jacob Hillman on the call right now for Auburn softball. So tune into that this weekend if you're looking for something there as well. So it's just exciting, man. We've hit that time. Baseball and softball are here. Basketball is getting into postseason play in just a couple of weeks. It's one of the best times of the year, fellas. No
yeah,
doubt.
Definitely so. And just what I think about with baseball and softball is, I mean, these are the two sports that I feel like as a crowd member mirror college football the most, because you're outdoors, you're kind of in the elements with the players, and you can make noise that kind of, you know, echoes over the whole campus, really. And so it's one of the sports that I think a lot of people don't really get into because, well, it's a spring sport and it's, you know, it's kind of slow paced and it's not as exciting as maybe the other sports. And I'm telling you, you watch a college baseball game during the postseason and you watch somebody hit a 3-run home run to go up for the first time in the 8th inning to move on to the next round, that's one of the most electric crowd responses that you can see in all of sports.
I want to say maybe it was a few years ago, I watched like a Murray State team take on like number one or number two seed Louisville team either regional or a super regional. And Louisville had the best closer in college baseball at the time, a guy who could touch 103 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And you have Murray State, bases loaded, 2 outs. Kid has 2 strikes on him. They pinch hit a kid that's got, what, like 4 hits all year?
Yes, I remember this.
And he catches a 100-mile-an-hour fastball out front and hits a walk-off grand slam. Like, that's the type of stuff you get in college baseball that you literally don't get anywhere else.
Yep.
Yeah, you get 4 seeds winning regionals and moving on to supers.
We've had, like, 4 seeds win national championships.
Yeah, Fresno State way back in, I think it was, like, 07.
They beat Georgia.
Yeah.
They beat Gordon Beckham in Georgia.
One of the last four teams in that year. I always remember that just for whatever reason. So,
well, Stony Brook, a school that you didn't know existed, went to the College World Series.
That's right. Go. College baseball, college softball. It's a lot of fun. High school baseball and softball underway now as well. I know Lee Scott has already started. Auburn High has already started. Our first broadcast of that is tomorrow, right, Jack?
That's right. So Auburn High baseball started tomorrow. That'll usually be Scott Bagwell on those calls. I'm going to fill in for him tomorrow. He's got something going on. But that'll be at high noon tomorrow, and then the rest of the way, I'll be taking you through Auburn High softball the rest of the year, and Scott will have the call on Auburn High baseball. So, yeah, fun times for if you're a sports fan around the Auburn area. A lot going on.
Yep, Auburn High gets started in the league. Scott has already started baseball. Our first broadcast will be on Thursday against Chambers, so excited for that as well. A new look, Lee Scott team with a new head coach, a very familiar name, Mr. Tim Hudson. Excited for that.
Apparently, we in Athens this year, in this baseball season, you're only allowed to hit home runs.
They hit another one?
Because it is now 5-3. As Georgia hits a solo home run, all five run-scoring hits have been home runs. There have been five home runs in this game.
It'd be a fun one to be at. Yeah. Be a fun one to be at, for sure. You're talking about atmosphere, Jack. Those are fun ones to see when they're just trading back home run after home run.
I'll never forget years ago, Georgia had guys go back-to-back-to-back-to-back on home runs. And I don't think that's ever happened. Ever.
I think the one of the most, and I put this in probably my top five moments in like Auburn fan history, but I mean, I think it was the 2010 regional where it's the famous Creed Simpson steps up, and he's filling in for Trent Mummy in center field, and he steps up down one. Auburn's hosting for the first time in years a regional. They're down one. It's two strikes, two outs. Everybody's just, oh, man, we're going to lose. You got runners on, so you're trying to get somebody in and just hoping that he can find a hole somewhere, and he steps up and hits a three-run bomb over the monster, and that place went absolutely berserk. Yeah. I mean, the call that Rod Bramlett has is
legendary.
Timeless. It's legendary. So, yeah, just some of my favorite moments coming from Plainsman Park, and I'm just glad it's here again.
Well, baseball season is here. It's opening day in college baseball as Auburn will take on Indiana this weekend, softball with their home opener as well. We got to get to our first break here in hour number two. Give us a call. Give us your thoughts. Auburn baseball, softball, basketball, anything you want to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Question of the day when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Question of the day here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins, Carter Bird, joined by Jack Cutton in studio, as we do every single Friday as we transition to looking at college basketball. Tomorrow is a big one in college basketball around the SEC, around the country, as we get near the middle to end of February, get into March, and we are less than a month away, just about 3 weeks from Selection Sunday. Question of the day is this, and we'd love to hear from you, our listener, 334-321-1390. Jack, Carter, and I talked about this. We will give our picks again, but would love to hear from you. Tomorrow, what is the biggest game in college basketball with the biggest impacts on the NCAA tournament, and why?
Whew. Well, starting with the one that we all are going to be watching tomorrow, I think Auburn certainly has, and I'm not saying this is the biggest one, I'm going to answer your question, but I think Auburn certainly has a game that I don't know if it keeps them out of the tournament if they lose it, but then it becomes where are your quad one wins, where are your good wins down the stretch, and so Auburn's going to need to pick up a few more. In terms of NCAA, maybe at something like, so this Texas A&M Missouri game is going to be interesting.
Interesting.
Both teams at 19-7 on the year. Texas A&M kind of been sitting on that bubble line for a while. Missouri in that exact same spot, really. They go down big to Auburn, and so that kind of has them on the outside looking in. I think the winner of that, if they can win down the stretch, probably gets in, and I think the loser of it could be, once again, on the outside looking in. In terms of just big games around the country, I think, so of course the SEC is going to have a few, but just in the top 25, I mean, looking down the list, and now I've got something going on with, oh, here we go. Sorry, I'm having to pull it up. Iowa State, Kansas State, that's going to be a big one in the Big 12. Of course, Kansas State, still going to be a tournament team, but has kind of faltered since that really big start. Another one I think that's going to be big, of course, Baylor, Kansas has some big implications. Kansas trying to get back up to that one seed line. I'm not sure that I would have Kansas at the one seed right now. Problem is, I don't know who else I would have.
Lenardi
because
does.
I got three teams, and then I got, I guess, Kansas. So
I mean,
it's
if Kansas wins that game, I think we're talking about Kansas potentially vaulting up to number two in the AP poll.
Sure.
Because of what Alabama losing, and Purdue lost three out of four.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't ignore that. Like, there's nobody right now that I look at, and I think that team is. That team is surging and going to take a one seed. Baylor could with a win this weekend.
Can we all agree that Houston is not all that they're the worst one seed possibility?
Conference.
And that's the problem. That is the biggest
that
problem.
That conference is getting, I think the projection is they're getting two teams in. Yeah.
I think that's right.
I agree. I think some of their early wins, because they had some good early wins in non-conference, is keeping them at that one spot in the net, which is probably going to result in them getting a one seed. I don't think that they really deserve it, but I think they're going to get a one seed. I think your one seeds, if it were to stand right now, of course, you got Purdue, Houston, and Alabama. And then that last one seed is, because I don't really believe, once again, I don't really believe in Kansas to be that good of a team. I don't believe in Tennessee, definitely. I mean, now they've lost three in a row, is that right? Or have they lost two in a row and
no,
almost?
They lost two in a row, and then they beat Alabama. No, they had their two buzzer beaters.
Right. Yeah.
They lost three out of four.
Yeah.
And could have, potentially, if the foul is called on Wendell Green, he hits all three free throws to force OT, and Auburn pulled it out in overtime, could have lost four in a row. But then they bounced back with that win, shorthanded win against Alabama. Yeah.
And
without
still
two starters.
And still a three seed, according to Joe Lenardi and Bracketology.
I do think a team that may deserve a one spot, if they can continue wins down the stretch, is UCLA. They have been pretty consistent. I mean, I think it was a few years ago. I think it was that 2020 year where they go on that run as like an 11 seed with, golly, who are even the guys? Tiger, what's his name? I can't even remember.
He's still there.
But yeah, I think he's still there. Juzang, I think, was on that team as well.
Jaime Jaquez is still there as well.
Yeah, Jaquez. Yeah, that's right. So they go on the run with all these characters.
Is it Tiger Carter? Is that his name?
I want to say it was like
Tiger Campbell.
It's not Tiger Campbell.
Campbell.
There it is. Yeah. So UCLA is a team, I think, that may be deserving of that final spot. But I definitely don't think, I mean, I just don't think that, I don't think Tennessee is up to snuff as much as they were just because of that resume now. Texas, maybe. They're at six losses, though, so that's kind of hard to put them on the one seed. So I guess that's probably my one seed right now are Houston, Purdue, Alabama, and UCLA.
Your issue is there's no dominant team in college. There's no dominant teams in college basketball.
Agreed.
There's not.
Yeah, I think
your closest thing to it, record-wise,
is Alabama.
Is Alabama and Houston?
Right.
Those two teams.
But I think Houston's a team that could, if with the wrong, which you could say this for anybody, but
yes,
with the wrong matchup,
what you're about to say is the same way I feel about Alabama.
Yeah, in the round of 32, they could lose if they match up with the wrong 8 or 9 seed, if they're a one seed, right? Now, according to Bracketology right now, Auburn is an 8 seed, and their one seed matchup in the round of 32 would be Purdue, and Carter and I have talked about how horrible that would be.
Oof.
But if you look at it,
he might have 30 and 20 in that game.
Oh, he would. Yeah, definitely.
But if you look at it, let's say Houston were to take the one seed, if this was the bracket to be released right now, their second round matchup would either be a very talented defensive Rutgers team out of the Big Ten or Texas A&M, who's got all the confidence in the world, who sits at 11-2 in conference play.
So for some reason, you mentioned Rutgers there. I mean, and I heard you guys talking about this on the way in, but for some reason, Rutgers taking on Wisconsin, that for some reason is a big bubble matchup right now. Both teams don't even have 17 wins on the season. They both got 10 losses, and they come into that one not very highly ranked in the net. I don't get the fascination with some of these Big Ten teams. I don't. I think Purdue and Northwestern and Indiana really have shown that they're, you know, sitting pretty highly. But the other ones, are just they haven't impressed me this year.
Well, I mean, if we're being honest, Rutgers has the most impressive win of the year. They went to Purdue and beat them. Nobody else has that.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's gone to Alabama and won. Nobody's done that against these top teams, really. I mean, some teams have done it in Kansas,
mm-hmm.
but nobody's beaten Purdue at Purdue.
College basketball, man. There's a lot to be decided down the stretch. We'll talk more about it when we come back. Plus, Auburn at Vanderbilt on Saturday. We'll make our picks when we come back.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird, joined by Jack Cutton in the studio here at ESPN 106.7 as we begin to look at Auburn and Vanderbilt tomorrow in Nashville, a game that is not necessarily a must-win for Auburn when it comes to making the NCAA tournament, but Jack, I think you agree with us that Auburn needs to be thinking this is a must-win game tomorrow.
Sure. I think this is a game where if you go and lose it, it's going to be on your resume as a, quote, bad loss by the people that make decisions for the NCAA, for the committee. I don't know if it would be necessarily a bad loss for real because I think Vanderbilt has gotten better as the season has gone along. But that's going to be what the term is for it. And so I think if you lose this one, you're going to have that bad loss on your resume, which Auburn, I guess, doesn't really have right now. Maybe the Georgia loss, but
it's hanging on to quad two status right now. But they have to keep winning games for it to stay a quad two loss.
And that ain't happening this weekend, boys. Georgia's in Coleman, so that ain't happening.
Yeah. Well, the question becomes, does Georgia losing in Coleman, does that knock their
net
ranking
down? It's not going to knock it down, but there's no chance for them to pick up a win this weekend, is what I'm saying.
Likely not.
Yeah, and understood. I mean, they have, according to the ESPN matchup predictor, a 3.1% chance to win.
3.1. So you're saying there's a chance.
They have... they are at Alabama, at Arkansas, probably two losses right there. But then they get Missouri at home. They get a shorthanded Florida at home and South Carolina. If they go 3-2, does that stay a quad two loss for Auburn? Because if it goes to quad three, that hurts Auburn a bunch, I think.
Yeah, and I think, of course, and if you're just talking about the teams that you would think they're going to win and lose to, if you talk about what's expected, yeah, I think there's a possibility that goes down to three. However, let's say you go 3-2, you drop one against someone you shouldn't, but then you get one against someone you shouldn't, then what does it do? You know, does that even out, or does it have a greater effect for Georgia? I don't know. I do think that you can get by with one, maybe two bad losses on the year, but you also got to have a really good win to counteract that. Auburn does have wins over Northwestern and Arkansas. Those are their top two right now, though.
That's not a lot.
And that's not a lot.
Right, and that's the problem. Auburn doesn't have that win. They don't have that statement win. Do they have a chance? Yeah, they do. They've got a chance to get a couple of them down the stretch.
As of right now, Georgia is 11 spots clear of dropping into a quad three loss for Auburn.
See, I'm not sure you have to have that incredible great win as long as you don't have any bad losses. I think you can get in with a solid record in quad two and quad three, and then you no losses in 3-4. I think you can get in with that, but I think it's not going to give your seeding, you know, very much value. You're definitely not probably going to get above about a 7 seed at most.
Auburn's 2-6 in quad one and 6-2 in quad two as of right now.
2-6 in quad one's just not good, man. That's not a good record to have if you are wanting to be an NCAA tournament team and you want to be a competitive NCAA tournament team. Because I've said this before,
Arkansas is 2-6 and they're.
But Arkansas also lost their two best players for three-fourths of the year, and they're now rallying a little bit.
Well, they have one guy. Well, they just lost a game that they should have won.
I was just about to say that. They lost that game where they shouldn't have. But when I think of quad one, and I want our listeners to think this as well, quad one in my book basically translates to tournament team. That's what I think of that as. Your record in quad one is your record against a borderline NCAA tournament team, and Auburn right now is 2-6 out of 8 tries against NCAA tournament teams. You have 2 wins. That's not good.
I agree. I do agree. I think that there's a small overlap with quad two games. I think you're going to have some teams that are from quad two that are going to make their way into the NCAA tournament. For example, you're going to get a team like Texas A&M who may end up being quad two for Auburn since it was at home. But
well,
if they don't
one of them is quad
30,
one, the other is quad. Well, they're one spot away from being another quad one team in both places for Auburn. They're sitting at 31 in the net rankings.
Yeah. So if that's the case, that's going to be a quad two game, but it's a caliber of a quad one opponent, right? Opponent. And so I know that that's not going to be, you know, dug into detail by the committee, but I do think there's some overlap with quad one and quad two. I do like looking more at a team's quad one and quad two record. 8-8 for Auburn is still not very good, but it does say, hey, we win half the games against tournament teams and we lose half the game against tournament teams. Does that get you in? I don't know.
Right, which is fair, and I think it's important, and I've brought this up quite a bit over the last couple of weeks, because talking about Auburn basketball's resume, right, their tournament resume, who are their wins, who are their losses, where can they pick up a few, where can they not afford to drop some, right? There are two separate conversations to have about this Auburn basketball team as we sit here on Friday, February 17th, as we are 3 weeks away from Selection Sunday. There is a conversation to be had about Auburn's tournament resume and what it's going to take for them to get into the NCAA tournament. And there's another conversation that needs to be had about how good is this Auburn team and what are they going to do if they get to the NCAA tournament? What problems do they need to fix? Who has to play better? And what's it going to take for them to win a game in March? Those are two separate conversations here, guys. And I think it's important to separate those in this instance, because you look at this game tomorrow for Auburn. Tomorrow is a must-win for Auburn in the what-do-they-need-to-do-to-get-better category,
sure,
but not necessarily a must-win to get to the NCAA tournament. Not a game you want to drop by any means. You want to win this game mentally, confidently, emotionally, right? This is a game tomorrow in Nashville. Auburn's got to win. They got to win tomorrow, I think. I put this borderline must-win.
So it's not a must-win. It's a got to win.
Got to have it.
I think that's fair, yeah. Because it's a must-win is you have to lose, or you have to win no matter what. But it's a game where I just think for this team to have any sort of confidence in the midweek to take care of business against Ole Miss before you go on the road to Rupp, you've got to know that you can beat a team like Vanderbilt, because you are better than them. If you can't beat Vanderbilt, you have no business being in the tournament.
Well, and I do think that the way Vanderbilt's playing, I mean, would you guys say that that's a 14-12 team right now?
No,
I wouldn't.
No, not at all.
I wouldn't either. I'd call them a bubble tournament team.
When they went on a really bad stretch where Liam Robbins was banged up and they could not win a game and they looked awful.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about losing some lopsided games to Alabama, where they
very
lost by 57.
Yes.
They hung with A&M on the road. They lost by 16 at home to Kentucky. Like, all of these matchups where you really would have liked to, if they could have hung in there a little better, we'd be talking about this team in a lot more favorable light. This team is 91 in KenPom, and they are, I don't know exactly where they are, they're 91 in net rankings as well. This is not a 91 ranked team in this country right now, especially with how well Liam Roberts is playing and how, what a mismatch he can be. And that is, this game is going to be, I mean, take the what actually happened on Tuesday out. Before that, when you looked at Missouri and you looked at Vanderbilt, I was more worried about this Vanderbilt game than I was that Missouri game, to be honest with you.
Oh, no doubt.
Sure.
Because I don't think this is a good matchup for Auburn. I don't think it is.
Yeah.
And I am concerned about that.
Well, and that goes, I think, to Jacob's point some, is that the Vanderbilt team that you're going to get, not really what's going to be illustrated on the committee's sheet at the end of the year.
Which is fair.
You get a sheet full of information that's happened all year. And really, we're talking about a Vanderbilt team that's really come on maybe the past half of this season. And so if you're looking at that and you go, okay, yes, it is. It's probably not a must win for the tournament, because they are going to be, you know, a little better than their resume illustrates. But at the same time, I think they're going to be a team that you got to have one against, because you got to know we're good enough to beat a team that's probably on the bubble like this and moving forward get some momentum.
Which goes into the eye test, which the tournament committee does not use enough, in my opinion. I'm a huge eye test guy versus stats, where, you know, obviously you guys are more on the stats than I am, because I go with, especially with college basketball, I think this about basketball more than any other sport. College basketball, to me, especially this time of the year, we've had callers, Terry and other callers, tell us it's all about how you're playing in March, right? Who's hot and who's not. That's what March Madness is about. And I'm not saying that the tournament should only be about the teams that are playing the best right now, but I think that's important. And when you talk about the eye test, Jack, you're exactly right. Vanderbilt on the resume, if Auburn gets the win, nobody's going to look at that and circle it and say, that's a great win for Auburn, because it's Vanderbilt. But they are going to play better than their record shows tomorrow, Vanderbilt will. They're at home. Yeah. It's a weird gym. You're on the road, right? If you're Auburn, you're on the road. It's weird gym. Night game. Yeah, Saturday night. You got to travel up there, wait all day to play. It is a tough game tomorrow for Auburn to go in and win, but mentally and for their sake of saying we can beat this team and we have some confidence and build on some things, tomorrow is it's a big, big game for Auburn.
Definitely so. I think if you are Auburn, the strategy I think that you got to go with, look, I know that they've got Liam Robbins inside. Auburn has made some money all year with going to that high post. I think Jalen Williams needs to play well again. I think you need – I'm actually going to say I think you need some help from Dylan Cardwell tomorrow, because I think Janai will get – he'll make some productive plays. But I think the minutes that Janai has to come out, you've got to have physical defense from Dylan Cardwell, because that's what Robbins is going to do. He's going to bang around with you down low. He's going to get rebounds. I think if you're Dylan Cardwell, your job tomorrow is – foul out of the game by the end, because I want you hanging all over that guy. I want you beating him up all game.
And here's the problem, guys, is this Auburn team, when Janai Broome comes out and there's still a big man on the opposing squad, one way to work around that is to go small and put shooters in and play from 18 feet out. Auburn can't do that. Auburn has nobody on this team that can do that. Bruce does not have the option to, quote, go small and play from the outside, right? They can't do that. They have to get into closer to the basket, unless KD Johnson has an unbelievable game, a career night shooting from three again, like he did on Tuesday. That's not going to happen, and Bruce Pearl does not have that option to go small when Janai Broome is pulled out of the game. So it's going to be important, and I'm glad you bring that up, because that's where I was going next, is who has to play well tomorrow for Auburn? Janai Broome has to hold his own. He doesn't have to play just astronomically well, because I think it's going to be tough for him to do that. Janai Broome has to hold his own tomorrow down low on both ends of the floor.
I'll give you that. I think that he has to show some physicality that at times he has lacked. I will pay less attention to the point scoring stat line. I think this is a game where you need Jalen Williams to be big, and that kind of high post, that little floater that he hits in the middle of the paint. Alan Flanagan needs to have an efficient game shooting the basketball, protecting the basketball. And then Wendell Green needs to do Wendell Green things that he's done here recently. I mean, he didn't score a bunch of points on the other day against Missouri, but he protected the basketball and he had 9 assists. If he gives you that level of production, now my fear is that KD Johnson going 4 of 6, all of a sudden back in his mind he has the greenest green light in the gym, and he is going to shoot 8 threes in this game and go 1 of 8. I'm worried about that, but if he keeps his mentality of going to the rack, I think it's great.
I do too. I certainly agree with you. I think something else that maybe is not talked about as much in this one, I think it has helped that in previous years, Auburn has kind of, gotten the monkey off their back with winning in Nashville, because before that Final Four team went up there and won, it was something like, 17 years or something since Auburn had won in Nashville, and now I believe they're 2-0 the last two times that they've been there. So that monkey's kind of off your back. You don't have that's just weighing over you. So can you go in and take care of business against a team that now Bruce Pearl has seen a few times over the course of his tenure and gone in and actually done this before in Memorial?
Yeah, and again, we've talked about, and everybody knows just the difference of that gym versus any other gym, right? You've got to adjust to that with the benches being under the baskets. I'll be there tomorrow, Jack, so I've never seen it in person. I'm interested to see what it looks like and just how odd it is in person and how far away and just different the layout is. But Auburn has gotten, and it's crazy to talk about this, but it's very important for Auburn to get there tomorrow and get in the gym and get some shots up, right? Get in there and feel comfortable with that environment, that gym, different backgrounds, figuring out where you're bench is, where you can call timeouts from, where you're going to be getting play calls from, like all those things that your average fan and average player don't think about. Those are things that have to happen tomorrow early on, especially like you said, Jack. This is a night game, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Those are the things that Auburn has to do to prepare themselves to where when they're in the middle of the game and they're looking for the play call, they don't have to realize it in the game. They already know. Like, mentally preparing yourself for a different type of environment is going to be crucial tomorrow for Auburn to be successful.
I think so, too. And I know we got to get to break here soon, but just kind of one more thing about it. I think the something else that you talk about with going to a different gym and playing in a different environment, and you kind of see this sometimes, like you and I call in high school games, you kind of see this in road games a lot of the time or games that are not in your home gym, but it is the I guess the firmness of the rims can be different in
different
some
style
gyms.
Of rim. Yeah,
you have a different style of rim that can knock it out, and so obviously with Vanderbilt, they've got the goals that hang down. They don't have the ones that they bring in and just put up from the baseline. And so, you know, how does it bounce off of the rim different? How does it rattle home differently? And so that all of that Vanderbilt has the advantage in because they do that every day. Auburn's got to be able to get up some shots. Kind of hunker down on what those rims are going to do and what they're going to feel like going up for those shots.
And it's those little things that will could be the difference between wins and losses for Auburn tomorrow. And those are the little things that are the difference in wins and losses in March and in the NCAA tournament. Auburn on the road tomorrow in Nashville taking on Vanderbilt. When we come back, we'll make our final picks and predictions. We'll make picks for baseball as well. And if you want to get in last minute, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Final picks and predictions when we come back.
On the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up the Friday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins, Carter Byrd, joined by Jack Cutting in studio. If you missed any of today's show, be sure to go and catch up with the podcast. Find it at ESPNAU.com. Commercial free right after the show. Lots of basketball, baseball talk as Auburn baseball opening day over at Plainsman Park. They get going against Indiana coming up in just a little bit. So excited for that. And Auburn basketball on the road at Vanderbilt tomorrow. Softball with their home opener with the Tiger Invitational. They're up on Austin Peay. Last time I looked, it was 3-0. So excited for that. Auburn women's basketball with a big win last night over Texas A&M. So lots going on in Auburn athletics. But again, if you missed any of today's show, be sure to go and catch up with the podcast, ESPNAU.com. Click on the podcast center or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Gentlemen, we got about 3 minutes to make picks for Auburn baseball and Auburn basketball.
You're only a little bit off on that softball score. It's 11-0.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, they went crazy. I was watching the bottom line.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that was like 20 minutes ago when I checked that. So it's 11-0 now?
They went crazy
good
in
for
the
them.
Second inning.
Good for them.
Boy, this Auburn team can hit. They did it down in Florida, and they're starting to do it again now.
Awesome. Well, okay, Auburn baseball, Indiana opening day tonight. Today, opening weekend at Plainsman Park. Quickly, Auburn baseball versus Indiana. Who wins and why?
This is an Auburn team that is coming off an Omaha appearance. They've got the pitching to do it. They've got every reason to believe that they can come in and beat this Indiana team who, frankly, wasn't very good last season. They do have a couple of transfer pitchers coming in from smaller schools, but I think anything below a series win this weekend is going to be a disappointment. I really think Auburn, if you can get this one, I mean, do everything you can to sweep opening weekend because, you know, you need to assert some dominance right here.
Yeah, I think you need to win the series for sure. I think for me, Jack, and you can agree or give your opinion, I think Auburn sweeping would be a great opening weekend statement by this club.
I'm with you. Yeah. I think Auburn should sweep, and I think they do against Indiana. And then Auburn basketball on the road against Vanderbilt tomorrow night in Nashville. It is a game that we've talked about how big this is for Auburn mentally. May not be a must-win tournament-wise, but I think mentally it is. Who wins?
I think Auburn gets it done. I don't think it's pretty. I think you see Liam Robbins really get after Auburn, but I think Wendell Green and Jalen Williams and those guys step up and do enough for Auburn to scrape away like a 2-point win in Nashville.
I tend to agree with that. The last few times Auburn's been to this gym, it's been ugly games. Auburn has been a pretty heavy favorite in those games, and they still find a way to get it done, but it's pretty ugly. I'll say Auburn doesn't shoot well tomorrow, but somehow makes enough buckets in the end to win a low-scoring game. And I think they get it done off the back of some of their high post playing. And then I think maybe a couple guards make some plays down the stretch that helps Auburn win this one.
I like Auburn's guard play tomorrow. I think if KD Johnson off the bench, like Carter mentioned earlier, if he cannot get into that shooting mindset of I'm Stephen Curry, I can hit 10 of 11 threes, and if the guys cannot turn the basketball over, and if Mr. ATM himself does not show up tomorrow, I think Auburn will win. I think Auburn will get a convincing win tomorrow. Not saying anything by 15 or anything, but I think Auburn will win this game. I think they just straight up beat Vanderbilt tomorrow on the road in Nashville.
If they go in and get like a double-digit win, I'd actually call that a statement win. I mean, what we've talked about, this Vanderbilt team is becoming...
It's a bad matchup for Auburn. If they win by double digits, it'd be impressive.
Should be a good one. Catch some baseball, softball, basketball this weekend for Auburn, but we are out of time. Come back Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.